From the storeroom hidden under the stairs, Ma fetched a cup of rice and a sack of eggs speckled gray like the moon, then cooked, standing before the stove's blue fire, her eye upon the window and its dusk, in which bats swooped and the neem tree shivered, and a figure down on the road pedaled a bicycle, whistling, as if everything was all right. Thief, thought Ma. Who else but a person who had chanced upon fresh vegetables or fruit would wander the city of Kolkata in this ruined year? The heat, a hand clamped upon the mouth, the sun, a pistol against one's head, and recall a song. She watched to see what the thief would do. He pedaled past, but Ma saw a different reality shimmer into being, in which he leaned his bicycle against the wall, climbed the pipes like a toddy tapper, and appeared at her window. In that picture, the thief was a collector of local information, dutiful in his neighborhood eavesdropping, shrewd in following what he heard about the bins of onions and carrots, the sacks of lentils and rice, the bags of raisins and cashews hidden in the dark fist of the house, stolen by Ma from donations made to the shelter where she worked, while the city outside wept for a handful of something to eat. There was, in the label accepted by the region, a shortage. In the year prior to this day, farmers across the region had fallen, their bodies running fevers in air that no longer cooled. In the croplands, among stilled machines, pests had traveled from acre to new acre, savage in their feeding of grains. In the west, a drought had cleaved riverbeds, and in the east, salt water had tainted the paddy fields. In the city, those who walked to the neighborhood markets with umbrellas in their hands and wishful lists in their pockets, broad corners torn from the newspaper with writing in Bengali, cabbage, ginger, lychees if they were good, ice cream, half loaf of bread, found the roads alongside which the markets usually sat, its baskets and tarps invading, rickshaws and cars sounding their horns, slow shoppers inspecting the purple shine of eggplant and pressing guavas hard as hail, instead completely empty. Nothing but some onion peels scattered at the edges where the pavement gave way to earth, where on most days, goats and cows might have nudged the soil for something to eat. But those animals were gone too. It had happened before. 1770, when crops failed and smallpox plagued the enfeebled. 1876, when drought struck the Deccan Plateau and the British continued to export what grain remained. 1943, those black and white newspaper photos in which people appeared as sunken eyes and twig-thin limbs, facing a photographer who could do nothing for them. Their fullness, their love, their humor, their annoyance, their preference, paired by the lens to reveal what remained, which was hunger. The eggs clacked against one another in the turbulent water. The rice grew earthen and buttery, and Ma gathered in her hands a kitchen towel with which she would lift the pot lid before her, hot enough to pass for a weapon. But what would the thief have done had she, instead, glanced at him as if he were a returning member of the family, and told him with her mother's authority to wash his hands and sit at the table? In fetching him a plate, who might she have become? Ma shook her shoulders free of the distress. She did not need to put herself through such exercises anymore. She was leaving in 7 days. Only 7 days. It was close enough on the calendar to cast its glow over the whole week. Everything was in order. She had hired a new manager for the shelter. She had convened and concluded a final meeting with the board. The shelter, which had been her life for the past decade, would carry on without her, and she would begin a new life. Perhaps at a new nonprofit in Michigan. It was relief. It was even thrill. After dinner on this day, she would go to the American consulate at the appointed time and collect the passports with climate visas inside. Treasure beyond her greatest hope.